us. So, first of all, appreciate so much that you took time out of your evening, especially on a rainy night, to come in and talk about this very important ordinance. I think it's so important whenever we do things like this that we do it the right way, which is how we've done it. We had the first reading, we threw it out there and saw what stuck and what didn't stick. And our plan at this moment is to have a second reading at the July 21st meeting, and then we would wait again for more public comment, and then the August 18th meeting would be when the council would vote. Now, council has a choice. If any of the council, when you do the second reading, says, I'd like to call for a vote, they could. I'm not planning myself to do that, but I just want to say that there is a chance that somebody might do that. That is by Robert's rules of order that they could do that. I don't plan to do that, so we'll do the second reading in July, and then we'll have the vote in August. So just so you know the tentative plan anyway. Some of you may not know, a great big version of a human rights ordinance was sent out accidentally by me. This is so completely different than that, so if you've got that and you saw it, please put it out of your head, because it's not what this is. And after that, then we had worked with our lawyers, worked with the advisory commission, came up with an ordinance, had the first reading, and then we started talking to people. We went to the Chamber of Commerce, we went to the Visitor Center, we went to several different groups. I had lots of email comments about this, one way or another, lots of conversations, and through all of those, we listened to what people said, and there were some buzzwords in there that when people said, you know, I'm not comfortable with this or that, you know, we looked at it and we said, absolutely, you're right, that should not be in there. And we took out a lot. You can see that it's quite a bit shorter than it was. So we really worked hard to listen to the community and to listen to both. I hate to even say sides because it's just the way people feel and the way people think. I don't want it to be sides. So tonight we want to hear from you. The way we're going to do this is just raise your hand if you'd like to say something. You'll have maximum of about 3 minutes, you know. If you're really going strong and everything, I'm probably not going to just try to go up at 3 minutes. Would appreciate people not interrupting people. If one person says, I think the sky is pink and it should stay pink, please don't say, again, I think the sky is pink and it's pink, you know, just so that we won't be here all night. But at the same time, you could say, I agree with so-and-so, and that's exactly like that, but try not to repeat so much. And try to be respectful when somebody is talking, that we're not chattering while they're talking. That's the only thing I would say, just reminders of decorum and being respectful and stuff like that. So I'm going to give you a couple minutes, because since this is the first time you've seen this document, I don't want you to have to comment on it without reading through it. So I'm gonna give you a couple minutes. Dex, is there any way that we can get the document online for the people on Zoom? No. Can you share that document with them? If I send it to you? But I have to send it to I have to send it to Sandy, don't I? Or I could log on to the Zoom. Could I log on to the Zoom and share the screen? So go ahead and look it over. We're just going to take a couple minutes to do that. And then I'll see if I can figure this out.
Thank you.
together. This community is an amazingly diverse community. We all know it. We live here. We like each other. We work with each other. We have fun with each other. I lost, maybe, I don't know, I hope not, a friend that I've known before I moved here. She said, "We're in the room and I feel very sad. She'll talk to me. Very sad about that. Because she has misinformation about me and I don't even know what it is." But I find this to be personally sad because this isn't who I am and I'm surprised about who you are. I've had disagreements with people, that's the way we all have. But then we usually talk to each other and figure it out. But not when somebody's going behind your back. And that scares me about this part, this annual report. Annual report about what? Are they going to have an annual report about who's accusing you of what? Why do we need to do this kind of thing? It's great to have a proclamation that we're all good, but to actually put this into some sort of a ordinance. To me, it's just a bit much. I know we're working in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to say bye. But this is a very personal thing for all of us. And she has definitely stabbed a lot of people in the back, this woman. And I want you to be aware, if you haven't been stabbed yet, if you've been stabbed once, don't wait until the second or third time I do.
So, first of all, let's try to keep our comments on the human rights ordinance.
This is. If you have the human rights ordinance,
then
no, this is about the human rights ordinance that you replied to all the people that I know and like.
And I'm going to defend myself just because I think I have to.
Good.
I did send a letter on ordinance. I said that to you earlier. When I realized what I had done, I sent an email and apologized to everybody. And
not
said,
to the people you talked to.
Yes, I did. No, I did. I apologized to everybody. And I can go back in my emails and prove what I'm saying.
You didn't apologize
so,
to say that I was a
I apologize, but I have a very busy night.
Me too.
And I was really hoping to come and discuss the Human Rights Commission.
Yes.
And I'm sorry that people had their feelings hurt about this topic. It's important to a lot of us.
My reputation.
But I'm hoping that we can keep our discussion focused on this, if possible.
And Heather, I'd love to talk to you.
That's why I went first, because I agree with you, Jess.
So
maybe you guys have another point in like show proof of like who you spoke with.
Well, maybe
Heather has seen the show.
You don't have to discuss my issue. I wanted it to be public, and I wanted it to be cool.
Well, it's not the truth, but from my point of view.
Go ahead. Okay, I just want to clarify, just make sure I got this in my head right. This ordinance is basically an ordinance to set up the Human Rights Commission.
That's
okay.
Correct.
So which is like the Bloomington Human Rights Commission or the Columbus Human Rights Commission.
No, it's actually quite different.
Is it going to be different than theirs?
Yes.
Okay.
What are theirs?
Okay, how many people are even familiar with like the Human Rights Council, the Human Rights Commission, and this one? Okay. A big majority. After skimming through this and kind of having discussions with some of the people on the advisory board, my understanding is, as you just clarified, it's going to be different, but it's going to be the same, kind of the same structure, but our own thing. We're not going to emulate these other communities. Those of you who are not familiar with the Human Rights Commission, it's not a set of laws. It's not. That's what we have our constitution for. It's a group of people where anybody who has been discriminated, that doesn't mean me, just me, the person of color, or me, the lesbian, yes, or me, the woman, yes, if I had a developmental disability, I could go to the Human Rights Commission. If somebody was discriminatory against me because of my age, I could go to the Human Rights Commission. Any kind of discriminatory against any other human being, you could go to the Human Rights Commission. this Human Rights Commission is not going to march right down and, you know, brimstone and fire at you. It is a group of people that have the resources. The resources, if the situation deems that there needs to be a legal action, and believe me, I promise you, I've done enough research on some of the discriminatory things that have happened in our community. Some of them needed legal action. I promise you that. Some of them didn't. But this is a group. This is a group of people. They can steer these people that have been discriminated against. To a lawyer if they need a lawyer. It could be the ACLU. It could be the NAACP. It could be some other law firm. This is not a group that is coming together. And I plan on running for this. But this is a group of people, five people, that the town council selects that is a resource for people. It's a place where people can go. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but we are becoming a very diverse community. And there have been some cases of some really heinous things that have happened in our community, not only to our youth, to our tourists, to our population here. And these things need to be addressed. But I just want to clarify that this is not some group that's going to march down to the prosecutor's office and say, hey, we have to prosecute this person because they said this. It's not like that at all. It's not like that at all. Our Constitution takes care of that. Because according to our Constitution, and I will quote this, we are all free and equal to live and prosper. I put that in quotation marks for you. Thank you.
Yes, very good. If it is not that type of an organization, that is not how it feels. That's not how it's been presented. Unfortunately, I guess by your email and what was posted online, because I read a huge document myself.
Right.
There have been, what, five reported cases of discrimination in Nashville?
Five total since when?
No.
I'm asking.
Okay,
so. You're saying there's a lot.
It's
but we have resources already available
we're gonna try
to
not to go back
society.
Let's just let her talk.
To make complaints or have issues. We don't need another, it's like a middleman. Why do we need this middleman in our community that's already a good place to be?
Would you want to address that now? That question of why we need it?
Sure.
This is Beth Schroeder. She was on the advisory commission for the council.
Right now, we have five different places that you can report to. And so there's not a centralized or consistent form that can be used. There's no accountability. There's no standard for how that information is used. And so it's very inefficient right now. You can go to the schools.
Says you. Go to says
town.
You.
No. No.
Says you.
So you can go to the town council,
right?
And you can go to the health department. You can go to the visitor center. You can go to the police department. You can go to the school system.
And why are these resources not good enough that we need something
well,
else?
Well, none of them talk to each other. None of them are centralized. None of them are sharing information. None of them use the same form. So we don't have a really good idea about the feedback that's coming in.
I don't discount what you're saying, and I'm not saying that you're 100% right, and I'm not going to say you're 100% wrong, but it seems like you're talking in 100% language. You're not saying,
we spent about 9 months canvassing, asking organizations, how do you report, how does this information come to you, and what do you do with it? To come up with that information.
Yes,
so
I know. You see, you
yeah.
So there's a really comprehensive.
There's a really comprehensive report that the public has access to that the ad hoc committee put together with a lot of thought, a lot of time, a lot of research. So maybe that they might want to get together and see if I see the report.
That's available on the town website, what our findings were. And so the numbers, whether or not it's 5 or 10 or 20 or 30, is very hard to gauge because Some people go home and report in their hometown. Some people report at the state levels. Some people report at one of the five different areas that we know about in the county. Don't report at all. So there's just no centralized way to know what's going on and to help people in a consistent way.
Wouldn't it be more economical and more like joining of the groups? If you have five places that people can go right now and report this, and you're saying they don't communicate, that's on you guys, not us as a community. Why are you not communicating with each other? Your police, your town council, and you need three other places,
that's
right?
The purpose of the commission is to create that place where things will be reported to. You have to have a vehicle or a mechanism to do that, and that's what we want to provide to the citizens.
But it already exists.
No,
I can go to the police to make a harassment complaint. Can I not? Can I not go and report harassment?
Harassment, possibly, or assault. But
no,
the police doesn't deal with discrimination. They deal with crimes. And that's a different subject matter.
Just
3 minutes,
right?
Yep. Thank you, Pastor.
So I'm kind of terrified about doing this right now tonight. Many of you in this room know me because I'm a business owner. I'm a B3 gallery. We're celebrating our 10th anniversary this year. Many of you know me because I volunteered on the fire department as a firefighter at EMT. Some of you might know me as Leon Nurse. But I'm also a transgender lesbian who's had eggs thrown on my house, have beer bottles chucked through my front window, and nothing gets done. I've had guests that come to my gallery, people of color, people of different religions, people of different nationalities, that have come, they've heard that you're a safe space, and they've told me horror stories about encounters they've had in other shops in town, including shops that have referred to them by racial slurs or other derogatory terms. And why am I terrified to out myself in public meeting with a transgender woman? Because I don't want more beer bottles chucked through my window, or worse, gunshots. But if I keep silent, there's never going to be a change. If you look through this room, it's about as conscious as it can get. And what I would say to people that think that we don't have a problem, we do have a problem. And walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. Visit with a visitor in our community from a different culture and ask their experience about it. Ask how they feel when they've been subjected to racial slurs or orientation slurs. We need to have a central place where people can come and air these reports. And my commitment with this is that it doesn't have teeth. It needs to have teeth. I'll close with one last thought. About 10 years ago, when I was in nursing school at Ivy Tech in Columbus, the dean of the program outed me not only to every member of the faculty, student, and staff, but also every facility that I was doing clinical studies at. And the end result of that is I couldn't get a job, even though I graduated with honors. And I eventually had to start working as a travel nurse, traveling around the country just so I could get my paycheck, right? And when I went to the Columbus Human Rights Commission with this problem, another human rights commission that had no teeth, all I did was bare my soul and reopen those scars, reopen those wounds, and not a damn thing happened. So I would like to see a single human rights commission in Brown County where I could go to and other people go to problems that had teeth and the authority to do something about those problems. Thank you so much for hearing me.
Thanks, everyone. So ponder for it.
We work. And I want to say that I feel a lot. You know that. But this paper has on it the Illinois, I mean, the Indiana Civil Rights Commission from 1962. It's fully staffed with people that are lawyers and investigators and social workers, all there for anyone to use for free, whether they live here or not, or anywhere. And they have a lot of teeth. They have litigated a lot of things. And so this is what I'm hoping that people will disseminate. We made several copies of this. It's going around. And it could be something that was at these five places. Someone can actually get something done. If they do something here in Brown County, it's going to waste their time. They've got something like, I don't know, 60, 90 days.
Sure.
How can we get going?
The state organization that you're referring to is also the state that is contemplating stripping half this room, well, actually, if I look around, more than half this room, of a basic right that each of us have. And it's stripped rights.
We should definitely go for that. We should definitely, but that is a decision. This issue is definitely been, it's been used and it's been, they've got the records. In fact,
okay.
This was right. Yeah, would you not keep that? Would you let it go around?
Well, first of all, I mean,
right, it's just that comes right up.
We need to let other people have a chance to speak, and let's let some other people speak before we
just
give
an answer for a question.
What would you like to say?
Well, I'd be interested in what's the cost. So, up to the taxpayers, how much is this going to cost? Free voluntary.
These are volunteers. It's like our other commissions. It doesn't cost us anything. The most it costs us is the lights that we have a meeting with.
Okay.
So we wouldn't be funding anything.
All right. That one, that's good to know.
And then I'm going to have Melanie speak next. She's got her hand up.
The other thing is, you mentioned that it's different than Columbus and maybe Hawaii. And it sounds like the difference is that this will have teeth versus their dental.
No, this doesn't.
No. It's the opposite. If I may, I'm sorry, and I've worked with the director of the Human Rights Commission in Columbus previously. Both regionally, that commission was like what is being proposed. It's just coordinating communication between agencies. We evolved into an agency that was allowed in various limited circumstances to impose sanctions. For example, usually that meant housing discrimination. The vast majority of their influences. This proposed commission is simply coordinating communication. That's one main purpose. The other purpose is public education. So giving presentations, maintaining web pages, addressing your concern about coordinating information. This is how it happens, because there are no processes or systems or forms in place you're doing.
So the concern I have is that in Columbus, I don't know who they were, but there were citizens that put something up against Columbus. Big money in Columbus. And they were mad at some of the things they're doing, so they put something out of Columbus. And that got turned over to the Human Rights Commission as hate speech. And my concern is that we have free speech in America, and I might not agree with your speech, and I might detest what you're saying, but I will die for your right to say it.
Absolutely.
And my concern is that all of a sudden, are we going to start saying, well, that's hate speech, you can't say that, you're fine.
Yes, because that's what this will lead off to.
Yeah, and so my concern is the abuses that this could lead to, because it's happened in Columbus. It was turned over to the sheriff. The mayor turned that over to the sheriff as hate speech and the Human Rights Commission. So my concern is free speech. Okay? You gotta be concerned with that. You might not like it, but and what's in place for abuses. So are people reporting stuff? I don't like you, so now I'm going to go report you and get you in trouble. Right? So what's going to be in place to keep from this being abused? Or it's not really a slave abuse situation.
Can I just get your name?
Mary Beth.
There's a difference between reporting and investigating. This is not an investigation, but that's what the Indiana Civil Rights Commission is. It's a forum to coordinate information back here. So we know what's happening. It's a way to measure something for which the current is absolutely no measure. There's only anecdotes talking about this. The annual report would be actual numbers and objective information. It says, here's what happened last year, here's what happened, you know, previous years, earth trends, whatever. But this group was not chartered to investigate and make determination that what we just said was hate speech. That's not what this group is.
And I'd like to say that the advisory commission learned that we should not have a group like that here. We don't have the facilities. We don't have the capacity to have that. We don't have people that are trained to do things like that. That's why we went this route and not a route where we actually have people like the Columbus or the Bloomington or the state of Indiana. We don't have the capacity to do that. And so that's why this is not that. Let me see what Melanie has to say. Melanie?
Hey, thanks, Nancy. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak. As you are aware, I was on the initial committee that worked on helping to create the advisory committee that brings us to this situation we're in. Now, I also serve as the Systems of Care Coordinator for Brown County, and I am on the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Board for the Brown County School Corporation, as well as Centerstones. And I would like to bring some historical perspective to the idea of human rights in this letter that the Centerstone staff has put together in support of the Human Rights Commission. To wit, Centerstone of Brown County, Indiana, is in full support of a local Human Rights Commission. In our unique position within Brown County, our mission is to deliver care that changes people's lives. This often includes advocating for the needs and rights of our clients and community members, as well as teaching them to do the same advocation for themselves. In 1948, the United Nations established the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It consisted of a bit of a preamble and 30 articles. The preamble reads, "In recognition of the inherent dignity and of the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family is the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world." Further, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is noted as a common standard of achievement for all people and all nations, to the end that every individual and every organ of society, keeping this declaration constantly in mind, shall strive by teaching and education to promote respect for these rights and freedoms, and by progressive measures, national and international, to secure their universal and effective recognition and observance, both among the peoples of the member states themselves and among the peoples of territories under other jurisdiction. To this end, we at Centerstone affirm that this includes our clients, our community members, and all who may visit here. We know that this is a need in our community, just as it is a universal need in all communities. We will continue to advocate for all to have their inalienable rights respected, honored, and affirmed. And we welcome a Human Rights Commission in Brown County, holding hope for all Centerstone of Brown County. I strongly encourage everyone to recall that this is a resource that will cost nothing. And it is obviously a thing that is needed because the state and the federal government all have mechanisms by which human rights commissions can be deployed in communities to help those people who are suffering discrimination. by race, by color, by gender, by sexual orientation, by disability, by nationality or ethnicity or religion. These things are what a Human Rights Commission advocates for and helps people to find resources for when they are in some situation that imperils their human dignity. So I am completely behind the town council, especially with the revised ordinance and moving forward in this endeavor. Thank you so much for your time this evening and for all of you who have the courage and the inspiration to come forward and participate in our democracy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Melanie.
Anna, you've had your hand up a couple of times and we've had to kind of go by. Do you want to say something?
Okay.
You're good?
I just want you all to hear what I'm hearing in this room is people started
to understand. Can you stand up because I can't see your face in front of you?
I am a senator, one of the council members here. And what I'm hearing, I'm really happy that we're all here and we're getting along so well. What I'm hearing is people starting to understand each other and understand this ordinance. Make it better, for sure. I didn't realize that there was a fear of hate speech. You know, I didn't realize that until now. Thank you for that.
Yes. Tell us your name.
Michelle Hamlin, and I'm actually an employee for Brown County Schools also.
Okay.
And I was glad to hear her speak. Something that troubled me a few minutes earlier is that I think I heard someone say that I don't have the confidence in my school system to hear me. If I have a problem, that I don't have the confidence to go to them and things be resolved. And I have a little bit of a problem with that because I have confidence in the Brown County school system. And I hope Stephanie is listening to this and can back me up on the show. I would like to question her why I wouldn't have that confidence to be able to follow through on anything that I would have a problem with.
I didn't get that from anything anybody said, but I
think it was my comment.
Yes,
she
did.
You could report it to the school system.
But nothing would be done.
Well, no, what is done with it is not something that we know.
Well, I know because I have confidence. I work for the system.
But that's not communicated with any other agency, so that's not something we have any numbers on.
Is not this a good time to maybe fix that problem? She's online here, and maybe we could come together and resolve that.
Well, that's kind of what we're trying to do.
But without this commission, I don't need this.
Can I ask
I don't need this commission to pursue that. There's systems in our society to handle that, and I can be heard, and I will reach out and I will seek out those avenues until it is taken care of. I don't need the system to help me. And I will give you an example. And it is something that has been troubling me. I have walked into the career center in the women's restroom and I have found men's urinals. And I'm not quite sure what to think about
that. Is it a new person?
I guess so. So that's something I'm going to be pursuing because as a woman, I feel that's diminishing my feminism. And I don't need your counsel to help me with that. I'm going to follow through with the things that are in place today in the right way. In a loving way.
Which restroom?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Which restroom can I use? Which one am I allowed to use?
I'm sorry. I'm speaking.
Just as a public room, I'm sure.
I'm not going back and forth with the
room. Which restroom am I allowed to use?
Okay.
That's the key to why we're having this meeting, isn't it? It's key to why we're having this meeting.
Because
people like me are being told we can use this restroom or that restroom or no restroom or the bush out back. Because there's no consistency. We all also have people being told that they can't be restored because of the color of their skin. Yes, that's happened in Brown County. We've had delivery drivers from different races run off properties by gun-wielding property owners saying, don't ever bring your name Amazon truck here again. And where do we deal with those kind of problems?
Where do we deal with it? Not the police department, through that one in particular.
Thank you.
Let's hear from somebody new. I'll come back to you, Joseph.
Trying to answer your question.
Okay, do you want to, is it okay to have her answer?
No, go ahead. I might answer your question too. Okay, I'll finish it this time since I'm short. So back in the summer of 2020, I helped organize a solidarity rally. If anybody was at that rally, they heard me talk about one thing, and that was a lot, and over again, and that was education, education, education. Because in this town, in this community, and I've been here a long time, it'll be 47 years in September, we don't have education. When it comes to any kind of, I call them the isms, we don't have that. To answer your question, you said we had 5 reports. When I was preparing for the solidarity rally, I reached out to the CVB, and I reached out to Bryan County Sheriff's Department, and I reached out to those 5 people. And you're right, they told me we had about 4 to 5 reports. When I reached out to the Indianapolis Human Rights Commission, the Columbus Human Rights Commission, the Bloomington Human Rights Commission, there were over 100 combined.
For Brown County.
Because it's specifically the complaints were for hotels, restaurants, and shop owners. I will rule.
Yeah, because I got sent an asterisk too, and I got 5.
There's not 5. I promise you there's not 5. The problem with going to the school system is people, young kids, because that's what the school is set up for, have gone to the school system. And those young kids have also transferred out of our school corporation because nothing was getting done about it, because the chain of communication was not there. People have gone to our CVB. That's where I know of more than 5 complaints against shop owners, restaurants, and business owners were made. Nothing has been done. Chain of command is there. Now, I know if I have a problem in this town and I go to the Bryan County Sheriff's Department or Nashville PD, it's going to get done. Like, they're going to investigate. But I'm only going to go. I'm not one of those people who will be like, oh, I was walking down the street and Jimmy John called me at N-word. I'm going to go run and talk to the, I'm going to laugh at him, walk on by.
But do you see the fear, though? Because
I see the fear.
That's the platform we're creating.
I do see the fear, but I want maybe you guys to step out of the box a little bit and understand the daily. When I organized that solidarity rally, you know how many death threats I got in under a month? So much that the then chief of police called in the National Guard.
What is this going to do to help you with that death threat? That's
not one of the things, just can I speak?
Yeah, buddy.
I sat back and listened. I've got the floor right now, so I'm going to speak real quick.
Okay, you got 30 seconds.
Going back, my thing was education. Do your research on a human rights commission and see what their main goal is. It's education. Right now, we don't have that in Brown County, I promise, and we haven't had it through the 47 years I've been on there. Promise you have.
The other thing I'd like to address is some of the stuff that the advisory commission did find. First of all, how many other human rights commissions are there in Indiana? 29? Is that right?
30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So obviously other communities feel there's a need to have their own commission like that other than just the state. What else did you address that I was going to say that you guys have found out? Okay. Let's let Ryan talk and then you'll be next. Ryan, it's your turn.
Yes, okay, I'm unmuted. I want to take this to maybe a more 30,000-foot level and turn it in a little bit different direction. The thing that I worry about, and I know other people do too, well, one thing I started mentioning this to locals that this is going on, and a lot of the things that I got back were, well, that's never going to happen. That's not right for this place. That's not even happening. I got a lot of, that's not even happening. So a lot of people I had to argue with and say it is happening. And I wasn't able to find anybody that really agreed that it needed to happen. I don't agree that it needs to happen. I'm not in an echo chamber. I have a lot of, a large amount of friends that have a lot of different opinions, and I enjoy being in that realm. But I do want to read a little excerpt from a book by the Epoch Times called How the Specter of Communism is Ruling Our World. And I feel like it takes us in a little bit different direction, but we just need to make sure we're not going in this direction, I feel like. So here we go. Socialism in democratic states slowly eats away at people's freedom through legislation without their notice, like the metaphor of the boiling lobster. The process of establishing a socialist system takes decades or generations, leaving people gradually numb, oblivious, and accustomed to socialism. The end game of socialist movements implemented gradually and through quote-unquote legal means is no different from that of their violent counterparts. Some states in the West today use the idea of the quote-unquote common good to convince the populace to sacrifice their individual freedoms. Citizens in these countries remain what appears to be a high degree of political liberties only because socialism has yet to become a strong political system. But socialism is not a static concept. Socialist countries set equality of outcome as the primary goal and thus are bound to deprive people of their freedom in the name of progress. Socialism inevitably undergoes a transition to communism, with people continually stripped of their rights until what remains is a tyrannical or authoritarian regime. Socialism uses the idea of guaranteeing equality of outcome through legislation, while in actuality it drags down moral values and deprives people of the freedom to incline toward goodness. Under normal circumstances, people of all kinds naturally vary in their religious beliefs, moral standards, cultural literacy, educational backgrounds, intelligence, fortitude, diligence, sense of responsibility, aggressiveness, innovation, entrepreneurship, and more. Of course, it's impossible to enforce equality by suddenly elevating those at lower levels, so instead, socialism artificially restrains those at higher levels, especially in terms of moral values. The socialism of the West uses pretexts like anti-discrimination, value neutrality, or political correctness to attack basic moral discernment. So this was written by people who have escaped communism, saw what they were in an area like we are today, and ended up in communism and escaped. And that's their perspective of this whole thing, and I feel that it's poignant. And I yield the rest of my time if there is any.
All right, thank you. Does anybody else on the Zoom want to say something?
So badly, but I'll refrain.
What was the name of that book again, Ryan?
Excuse me?
What's the name of the book you were quoting?
Oh, the book is called How the Specter of Communism is Ruling Our World, and I was reading from page 12 of volume 1 of, I think, 3.
Nancy, it must clearly be noted that human rights is not communism, and so, well, let's move forward from there.
Thank you. I don't know who that was that said that, because I can only see a few people. Do you want to stop sharing my screen, Dev, so that we can see? Can you do it? All right. Oh, you're
just a comment. I think the concern that he's voicing, summary, is what I was going to comment on, is that I talked to Bill Gordon Morales, who helped found the Human Rights Commission in Corpus, and he said they founded it for the housing issue, so that people wouldn't be discriminated in housing, and that it morphed, is morphed, and now they're monitoring speech and hate speech in the town, and so now it's expanded beyond its original scope. And I think that's what he's trying to say, the concern is, because I think you're saying it's just coordinating reports of what's happening, but I think you guys would like it to be more than that. You said you wanted to have teeth. So what's to prevent it from expanding from its original scope? To what, to you know, what Columbus has, where now they're saying, we might prosecute you for your speech, which should be free speech. Well, we all have to follow what's under the state law. So Columbus cannot prosecute anything that's outside of state or federal law. And we would be under that same jurisdiction. In regards to not having teeth, the state is who has the teeth. We just want to be a funnel to help people if they don't want to go to the school system, if they don't feel comfortable going to the police department because it's not a crime, that they have a resource to go to. It doesn't exclude still going to your employer or the person that you're renting from, or your, if it's credit and finance, going to your bank. You can still access the same resources, but you will also have this that's a more independent. Many people feel that when they're in a situation of possible discrimination, alleged discrimination, they don't want to go within the organization they're already within. If you're a pregnant young woman in Brown County school system that's been asked to step aside and get your GED later because you're missing classes, you don't necessarily want to file within the school system that told you to step aside. So your preference would be to go to the state who protects that. You would have the choice to do either. So we're not excluding the ones that already exist.
I would just caution you guys to, as you form this, put in safeguards so it's not abused. Because you should know this. For all Americans, you take an inch, you give them an inch, they take a mile. And this could be abused horrifically. And I just would put
I haven't been called on a lot, but I just want to answer your question real quick.
I got two more people that have their hands up.
Okay, I haven't answered your question.
Okay, well, Anna, go ahead. If you have an answer.
So the way that the ordinance is currently written, that's like the power of the individual have. In order to go further and, you know, get that inch to a mile, in order for it to
morph.
Yeah, expand, like what you said, to expand something that you're uncomfortable with. In order for that expansion to occur, then there would need to be an amendment to the ordinance that would have to pass through the town council, and we would have to have a public meeting in which you would also be able to voice your opinion at that time on the changes that would be presented. So the way that it's written now, if it's passed in its current form, that's the power the committee has. And then if the committee wants to expand or council wants it to, or there's a need for it or whatever, then we have to go through the whole process of amending that ordinance. Does that help?
It can also dissolve.
Yeah, if the council sees that it's not going the right way, council could say, this isn't going how we wanted it to go, we're going to dissolve it.
You never have had an opportunity.
Sorry. My name is Bill Schlupp. I live here in Nashville. It's my wife, Judy. I moved here 3 years ago from Chicago. I worked in downtown Chicago, so I'm not living in a bubble. Right? I've lived in diversity for a long time and actually enjoyed it very much. I have two questions. What I don't understand is, and I'm sorry, what was your name? Justice?
Jessica.
I'm sorry. What happened to you? It's unbelievable, and it breaks my heart. And that shouldn't happen to anybody. That is illegal. There is discrimination out there. That's a given. There always has been. That doesn't make it right, and it does need to be dealt with so that everybody gets the same rights. What I don't understand, and I just want to know, how is this commission going to change that? We do have places for people to go and report. Why are we protected now? And how is this going to change that? How is that going to make it any better? And then I think, sir, it was about gathering information about what goes on here. How that information used to help? I know you mentioned education, and that, you know, that's a big thing. But when I was brought up, I was taught to love one another, to treat each other with respect. We had civics classes. We worked in the community. And I don't discriminate. And I see what's going around. The world is changing. It's, some things are very hard for me to understand. I've seen even Christians. I just saw in Seattle a guy got arrested for reading his Bible in Bryant Creek. That ain't right either. But, so, how is this going to help solve this problem? I just don't understand.
I agree with exactly what he was saying, and it brought me to the point that I really want to bring up. I'm Joe Allen, by the way, sorry.
It's all right. Nobody else is champion. I don't want to stand
that's all right. So what you were saying, how is this going to help? And one of the things that, when I first heard about this Human Rights Committee, you know, or council ordinance, so we came down to a meeting. And so we came down to this meeting, and it was tabled on the agenda. And so we thought it was going to the next one. Okay? So after that meeting, I went and I started researching online because I'd never heard of it. And I wanted to find out what was behind all of this. You know, why are we doing this? Why do we need this particular wording in the ordinance? But then I also looked at the commission that was put together. And I listened to the meetings and I looked at that. It's obvious to me, and this is my opinion, that the commission has an agenda. And this is clear what their agenda is when you read it. How are they driving the city council with their suggestions? Because they have an agenda. Now you've taken words out of here. But they still have that in their mind. It's like strike that from the record in the court. They still heard it. They still have these things in their mind. How is it going to help? If that's the council right there, or if that's the board right there.
Which it is not.
Well, one of the legislators, I recognize her. But they've got something in their mind that they're wanting to drive. And so, back to my point was, the ordinance got on the table. We didn't talk about it. So we came back to the next meeting. I've only been to two. This is my third meeting I've ever been to. So we come back to the third meeting, or second meeting. And this is where I don't have confidence in the city council doing the right thing. Because they did not bring up the ordinance in the next meeting. And it was tabled. Which, if you mentioned Robert's Rules of Order, if you follow Robert's Rules of Order, you're supposed to bring that up at the next meeting. There were people here to talk about that. So, the council didn't do what they were supposed to. Right. So then, at the very same meeting, I watched the council, they brought up I wrote a note down here of what it was. Agenda item 8 was noted as a potential council action item. So my point in all of this is the council does what the council wants to do, it seems to me. You waylay one of your vice presidents with a vote to take her out of vice presidency. It went through the motions. The vice president asked the town lawyer, can they do this? The town lawyer says, I think they can. Vice President says, I'm not asking if you think they can, I'm asking if you know. Totally unprepared, in my opinion, and waylaying one of your own members. So now here you are expecting a city to watch you put forth an ordinance fairly when there seems to be an agenda from the board that you're put together driving this. You've taken some words out. That's great. You've taken some words out. There's a lot of words that are missing that I had concerns with. But it's still, I don't think we have a choice. I think they're going to vote it however they want to vote it, regardless of what the preside says.
Well, there are 5 people. We all, Jane is one, Jan is one, Tyra Miller is one, and Dave Rudd is one. We all have our own opinions. Some of us agree that we need the ordinance, some of us don't. We don't know yet. what the vote's going to be. So, and again, I don't base my vote on my personal opinion. I base my vote on what people are telling me. The whole reason this started was because of the rally, and there was a group of people saying, we need something here. We need something that will help change, help make this community better, and that's why the advisory commission was put together. There was a whole bunch of people on those Zoom meetings that we used to do. And I have a lot of other people from the community talking to me too, saying, yes, we do need this. But my vote is not the only vote. There's five votes. And we don't vote as a board. We vote as individuals. So, you know, it might have looked like that. Like it was, you know, first of all, you never want a unanimous vote on council. You want there to be different opinions.
Sure.
And I do think we have different opinions on the council. Not all of us are totally in favor.
I just want to add something that's slightly tangential, maybe even related to what others have shared, but I think it's directly relevant to this. My full-time work is disability services professional. I'm an IEP worker for Indiana University. And part of my responsibility as director of an office is to be aware of what decisions and findings the Federal Office of Civil Rights makes when they investigate complaints on discrimination. And my job is discrimination based upon ability, disability. And so I've read many of those findings and letters. I'm not an attorney, but it's my job to understand this stuff. And I will tell you that the overwhelming majority of the findings from OCR, Civil Rights, they focus on the process that the organization went through once a complaint was made. They're far less concerned about what is the outcome of the process. They want to know, did you follow your policies? Did you follow your procedures? Did you include all of the stakeholders? Did you have open discussion about this? And one of the concerns that I've heard about the Human Rights Commission is that it would increase liability for the county activity. The exact opposite is true. That failure to have a process to address issues of concern about discrimination increases liability for the town. And that it actually is pretty important to have established different procedures, established processes, and to quantify the measures that Human Rights Institute. I guess one other thing I would say is if I'm not holding a report that's comprehensive and accurate that details all the concerns about discrimination in our community, I would wager that you would want to look at it, that it would be important information for you to be able to access in a public way. That's what this commission would do, is make that information available. It's an investment people, it's an FT. I understand concerns about our expansion. That's a concern. If you have a concern about expansion of, you know, government responsibilities and agencies, you're not paying attention. That's on the council to make sure that it sets appropriate limits and boundaries for this commission. Since it's a commission, I believe liability increases. And, you know, without this commission, liability and important issues to solve. Education is one of the ways, and it's one of the very few ways we have to address concerns about how we can solve this problem or that problem, these concerns. Presentations, maintaining the web page, making sure people have access to the information. It's a primary goal of this mission. See that as you want that in your community. That's right.
Yeah, you haven't spoken yet. Okay. My name is Donna Scott, and, you know, as I listen to everybody
want to make sure that we're not abusing somebody. And I can tell you right now, I have terrible. My job, well, I don't know, but, and I understand, I don't know, I don't want that to happen to me, not ever again. It's awful. But I caution all of us. Should we absolutely have education? Yes, absolutely. But creating another form of government is a dangerous precipice, and we have to deal with that. And we've addressed some of the issues with and I'm not saying I have the answer, but I don't know what it should be. But creating another form of government to govern your people in any way that could oppress them or press them down anymore is not the answer. We have to be very careful when you're walking this line. None of what you should experience should, that's, it is unlawful. What I experienced is totally unlawful. It's creating another form of government. It may not be the answer, and it's going to walk in a line, and like she has said, it is so easy to, then that form of government just takes the next step, and before you know it, you have stripped and violated some rights. And I'm not sure that I have the confidence in this council either after what I've seen. I'm just not. I don't understand why you create one more. Why? You haven't fully answered, in my opinion, why there is a need to create an ordinance such as this to resolve an issue that we need to resolve.
As I read this, it's not creating another kind of government. It's creating a commission to gather information. And tonight, we had the question raised, you know, we've got all these different organizations out there. Aren't they doing the job? But we've also heard testimony that the numbers being reported are widely different. We've got 100 reports from this organization. We've got 5 from here. We've got so many from over there. So if anything, what we've heard tonight shines a light on why we need not another form of government, but an investigational body, a central repository to gather this information together so that we can, with confidence, understand what the problem is. And then taking this report, bringing this report back not only to the town council, but to the whole of the community, so we can all see, hey, you know, this is this. And not shaming people, because it says in here it'll all be done in confidence. So all we're going to be hearing is redacted, sterilized summaries of information. And then as a community, we can look at that report and say, well, there is a problem. We don't need to worry about it. Or, conversely, shit. There is a problem, and I thought there were only 5 reports, but these people that have done a great deal of research and that hopefully I trust are saying, no, the problem is something different. And then as a community, we can come back together in another one of these meetings and make a decision if we need team in the future to address these kind of problems, or maybe we say, nope, that's an overreach that we don't want to have, and we're going to let a state organization address that. But as I read this commission, and part of my complaint is that there's no team. It is just information and data. And I would like to see that one there. Yeah.
Anna, we'll do you after. Thank you. I should not agree more. That's actually why I was so interested in this commission, is for the information gathering. So I like to quote, the plural of an anecdote is not equal to fact. So we have like a lot of anecdotal information right now, but we don't have a great like system for gathering information to be able to derive what the actual needs are. And that's
Sorry, I'm so interested in this question.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Courtney. I'm not from here. But now I am. But as an outsider, this is like a picture perfect town. I mean, you guys are on postcards. It's beautiful. It's magnificent. So my husband and I moved here, and we always felt it was this educated, very diverse town that embraced love and everybody. And we moved here, and then there's, you see things in the shadows, right, when you become a community member. At the end of the day, how I read this was more so embracing different cultures. In my head, I think what I read was, there's somebody that will do something for Pride, there's somebody that will do something, let's educate on this and this. And so in my head, I'm like, ooh, we're going to have a big parade downtown, and everyone can participate, and it'll be a big community gathering. And that's how I visualize Nashville. It is, you guys have been always welcoming, everyone here. And it's been a joy to be part of. We've been here, what, 2 years now? And we love it here. At the same time, I hate that the room is kind of split as well right now. There's clearly a lot of fear on both sides. It shouldn't even be sides. There's clearly fear. At the end of the day, you guys are, everyone has the same feelings of fear and wanting to be belong. And so you guys all share that, right? And that's important. As humans, we all have the same feelings, we have the same emotions. We want what's best for each other. Sometimes they don't always align. I think it's just all perspective of how we can look at this and what it can become, if it's voted in or if it's voted out. But you guys have always been a beautiful community that we're proud to be part of. And I would think for something like this around the rights of all human beings to separate or segregate a community that is really looked upon as, you know, you have so many visitors come here all the time. My family's from the East Coast. They love coming here. They love it. You guys have so much to offer here, and I hope that, you know, you guys all continue to embrace and love one another, whatever your perspective is, politically or whatever. It's just, for human beings, we all share the same stuff, and there's just so much fear right now.
You sure? The information gathering that we're talking about, it doesn't take an ordinance to do the information gathering. We don't have time for this to start gathering information that we need to determine the problem.
Sorry. Yeah, I was trying to say one. Sorry, I'm not. So I'm looking for overdose records in this community, and I've had to call like 6 different places. Nobody can tell me how many overdoses have happened in this community. That's difficult. And this isn't even about me, it's for rights, I would perhaps. But right, so I'm only referring to that because that's important to me. And I have to call, God, I mean, I've called, I've bothered a lot of people because so many different people are tracking it, but hospitals are also tracking it. People aren't necessarily just dying here. So in terms of data and numbers and facts, I understand why a commission potentially is important because that is, I'm going to say one thing and then I'll shut up. So I recently went to have, I work from home. I couldn't stand, my dogs are driving me crazy. So I was like, I'm gonna go to this restaurant, sit down. It's not a busy restaurant, there's like 16 people. I plugged my computer in and it was on Juneteenth. And I was floored by the words that I was hearing. Words that, I'm from New Jersey, words that I've never heard these words publicly. And so I packed up and I started walking out. And they
talking about restaurant in Nashville.
Yeah. And a server came up to me and was like, well, I'll get to you. And I'm like, I'm okay. I cannot be here. You know, I will not sit in an establishment that's going to be comfortable throwing words out that would, you know, that are offensive to me. That sucked. I'm not saying it's anyone's here. That sucked. I'm a privileged white person, and that sucked. To experience, I would never report that. I wouldn't know where to report that, quite frankly. So I can see the goods and the bads. I feel like I'm kind of all over the place right now, but nobody should have to experience anything that negatively towards themselves. anyways, I think you guys are a great community, and I'm really encouraged
to
be together. Thanks.
Laura, did you have something?
We are a great community.
Yeah,
we are. And Jen, I'm glad you guys are here. I'm Laura McCracken, and I've never done anything like this, and I'm nervous as hell that you can talk about it, but during the pandemic, I got kind of like thinking about like big thoughts, and living here. Just wanting to help contribute and make it a better place. And then this came along, and so I decided to throw in my hat and be open. And I learned so much. Sorry. I'm just a regular person. I'm not an expert on this. I've never done anything like this. Here's where I started. I started with, what's the difference between human rights and civil rights? I didn't know. So I sat up there and talked about it, and I learned. And I researched, like, so many. We started with the document that Dax worked together for us that he had researched, like, and it was, and perhaps
it was the big ugly document.
Okay.
That I mistakenly sent out.
That was our starting point, because we wanted to research, and we wanted to research communities like, you know, that are surrounding us, but we're not like Bloomington, we're not like Columbus, we don't want anything, we don't want to be like that. We're very, very unique, but we're human, and we want to give people a voice who have that experience. We started researching and finding that, yes, we probably thought there was a need. I'm a teacher, and so every year I get this group of students, and every year it kind of means the same thing, like teacher stuff. But what I do at the beginning of the year is I give them, you know, some assessments. I find out what their strengths are, what their weak areas are, you know, who's going to be good in the group, who's going to be a good leader, who's my artsy kid, who's a musician, you know, who's, and then I take that data and I build lessons. So my role, what I saw my role in being on this committee was to kind of think about, okay, how can we get information from the community privately? I want you to notice that it says on here, please read this, where it says the commission will develop a code of ethics for the community and keeping all faith in confidence. So it's not going to be like an annual report that says, you know, that has had this type of happening. It's numbers. It's you know, facts. And we haven't done it yet, so it remains to be seen exactly how that would look. But my point is that we can take that data and then we can build some education. Like, okay, maybe hate speech is a big issue in Columbus. But maybe it's not so big of an issue here in Nashville or Tampa. Maybe something else is. And so that's, you know, there's a huge spectrum of human rights commissions. And, you know, on one end is like it doesn't have enough teeth. And who knows where this, you know, in a few years it will grow and evolve to meet the needs of the community. That's my agenda. That's my hope, is that people can have a voice. And if it goes crazy, like then the town council can say this is going crazy. We're not. And thanks for listening. I didn't know if they'd get all teary about it, but I feel strongly about it. And thanks for listening.
Yes.
So I kind of have a question slash proposal. Would those that are kind of iffy about this ordinance, which I'm going to state again, this ordinance is just so the town council can even have the commission. This isn't an ordinance putting anything in the law or anything other than the commission we set up. But would the people that are kind of iffy about this be less iffy about it if it had no connection to government at all? Let's say if I decided to or anybody else in here decided to go up and start up a human rights commission? Like, I mean, would you guys still be opposed to it? Is it the big thing that it has the government backing that it is like, I'm not unsure.
Part of my, because you notice I've just primarily asked questions tonight, so clarifying questions. And so a couple of you have mentioned investigation, and so I'm not really clear what that is. Is that due process where you have to answer or you get arrested?
No, and I knew when she said investigations that was going to be a buzzword. That's not anything. We're not being proactive. This commission is not a proactive commission. It's not going to go out and investigate. Are the stores doing what they're supposed to do or anything?
So if someone accuses someone of discriminating and you call them and say, okay, there's been a complaint against you,
No, we would not even do that. We would, if the person came to the commission would say, okay, this looks like you should take it to this entity at the state level. They're not the ones that are going to do any investigating. They're not the ones that are going to ask any questions. They're going to guide that person to the direction that they should.
It's a resource. It's a resource for people.
It's kind of like a middleman.
Like, because we have, I mean, you brought up discrimination in housing in Columbus. We have a pretty big discrimination in housing here in Brown County. Believe that, we do. We have a lot of good things. This commission, and I'm going to reiterate it, is not fact-finding, isn't throwing the hammer at you. It is a resource, because I've done other work. I do work with Do Something Brown County. I've done work with beta teams. Brown County, and trying to get information from five different places is a nightmare. It is a nightmare. This little ordinance piece of paper isn't some law that's going into effect. This is only granting the town council to be able to have the Human Rights Commission, just like there's an ordinance for the Arts and Entertainment Commission. There's an ordinance for the Public Parks Commission. There's an ordinance that says they have to have an ordinance to have that commission. This is no law. This is no law fair. The commission itself is not a fact-finding commission. It is not a law. It's a resource. It's not an
extension of the law.
It's not an extension of the law. It is a resource to get people to the correct places they need to go if they have a housing discrepancy and they need to make a contact HUD. They need to contact maybe this person, the Annual Appraisers Association, this, or that. They have somebody who's being discriminated against because they have a developmental disability. Then there's resources. Because, yes, we have five places in this county to go to. Those five places, that information is scattered elsewhere. I can bring documentation to prove what I'm saying is right. We need, this is just a group of people that's a century long, it's not costing taxpayers anything. Oh, maybe 5 minutes of lifetime. Just so people can get the resources. You know, I know it doesn't have any teeth because the teeth is at the state level. And that's the way the state constitution.
And the federal level.
And that's how the state and the federal constitution are set up. So this doesn't have teeth. And right now, I don't need it to have teeth because I know that's a federal and state thing. Why I'm for it is because of the education. We have young kids out there who just say crazy things to one another. Sometimes saying crazy things to another young person causes them to take their life. It's happened in our community. Yeah. It causes people to move out of our community. I love this. I've been here for a long, long time. I love Brown County. I don't want to take anybody's free speech away because I believe in the constitutional right. And this little piece of paper, this little ordinance isn't communism at all. Giving human rights to every American in the United States is not communism. I'm sorry. Taking away human rights from Americans, that's communism. Just make that clear. But I do understand that your concerns, and I thought maybe if it was taken away a little bit from being part of a government entity, that would change your processes of why you.
Yeah.
might be against it.
Anna, did you have something like something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, so there will such as, really sum it up. I just wanted to clarify that an ordinance is, in definition, a law. But the committee itself would not be imposing laws on the population. But the law, an ordinance is, in definition, a law.
It is, but it's just to make it so this commission can have. There's an ordinance that says that we have the Arts and Entertainment Commission.
Yeah.
There's an ordinance that says we have the Transporting Commission.
Right. Yeah, so the ordinance is saying, like, you know, this X amount of people on the commission, and this is where they are able to live, like, you have to live in a
certain,
you know, all those details. But I think that what I want to really, like, make a point of saying here is, the commission will be helping people that are feeling like that need help rather than seeking out the abusers per se. You know, like giving people the resources that they need to, you know, to heal and whatnot.
Just,
first of all, thank you all for joining me out today. I appreciate it. I would assume that there's a number of people in this room that have never even spoken to somebody like me. And if the things I've had to say in this room have raised questions or concerns, and any one of you would like to sit down with me individually and have a conversation and understand what my reality is and share what your reality is, I would be more than happy to welcome you to share a meal with you and a conversation, to see that instead of division, we can find some kind of cohesion.
Just again, I want to applaud you for being so brave and coming out of this group.
I'm not brave. I'm not interested. And if there is anybody that would like to sit and have a similar conversation with you, sorry,
I
don't want to
put you in the I have role. Many conversations with you and learned a lot.
Feel free to reach out to Nancy and she can share contact information because I don't feel
she's my boss.
Giving everybody my
A couple of things. One, I wanted to respond to Joe's comment. We didn't write the first or the second ordinance, so that didn't come from the commission.
No,
we gave.
That's not what I was.
My phone's been out for weeks now, and I've been on the phone
on my husband's phone with Samsung and AT&T. It's been horrible to go through all of those digital press one, press two. And you know what? That when you're hurting, you want a human contact. You want someone that's going to listen to your story. Not pass judgment on the story, but say, I'm giving you a safe space. I'm giving you an environment to tell me what's happened. And I'm going to funnel you to the right person, if that's what you would like. That's the kind of entirety of what we want to offer, to interrupt that negativity, that when someone is here, whether they're a citizen or a visitor, when they have a bad experience, that they don't go home and tell 10 people. We want them to say, I had this happen to me, but I also had someone from the commission that sat down and was compassionate with me and took time with me and heard my story and gave me these resources. That's the entirety of what we hope to do.
I want to ask, hopefully, it's okay for me to ask you. When you guys investigated complaints that came into the visitor center, so somebody goes in and gives a complaint, what happened to it after that? What happened to that complaint after they made the complaint? And not necessarily at the visitor center, but did you learn where the complaints were?
There wasn't a standard procedure. The director assessed each one separately, is my understanding. Some people did not want to sign information. They just wanted the voice. Now, you got to understand, this is across the counter with maybe a dozen people in the room. They're trying to report something traumatic that's happened to them. So it's a really uncomfortable setting to be in to try to hear someone's story publicly. But that's how it happens there. And so that piece of paper is filled out. If they decide not to sign their name, not to give the contact information, I don't think anything was done with it. If you don't want to give some ownership to it, that validity is not there. But we would still like, as a commission, to listen. It doesn't have to be a formal complaint to be a good listener. At other times when it was very exact, there was witnesses, there was accountability, there was a date, a time, a place, then I believe it was sometimes sent to town hall and sometimes sent to the business owner, alerting them that this had been, complaint had been filled out so that they would know there might be a complaint on state level, criminal level, whatever level. But it was done, and then they were shredded. There was no history, there was no passing on, there was no documentation of how many per year or per month came in.
And there's nobody hired at the visitor center that is trained.
No, we were not trained.
Yeah. That was one of the things, that was a red flag for me, that there was nobody trained there to do anything, and I felt like,
and it probably never would be. There's enough turnover.
At least it's
pretty awkward in that.
Somebody that can at least tell them where to make their complaint to. The other question I have for you guys, you were talking about the statistics and how thousands of complaints come in and not only 20 of them. Do you know of those thousands of complaints, how many of them weren't valid human rights complaints? How many of them were things like freedom of speech, where they came to the civil rights and they said, you know what, that's not really a human rights issue, that's a freedom of speech, and it's not. Do you know if there's statistics like that? That we
know their statistics are by class, so it falls under race, it falls under gender, it falls under, you know, age, bias, disability, race, ancestry. That's how they categorize them. And then by region. So it took months of me asking over and over, but tell me what Brown County is.
So I guess I'm guessing that those people that are trained there probably have a lot of complaints like you were talking about that aren't really civil rights, human rights complaints. And that's part of those thousands that never go to trial. But I would guess that. And those are the people that are going to make the decisions about are they or are they not, not us.
I do think that's a concern, though, that you should keep in mind is the potential that, you know, I get no offense, but I hear viewpoint bias in here. No offense, and we've got biases and stuff too. But, and I know it says it's non-political and stuff, but I'm hearing the same buzzwords, safe spaces, and the like, and all that. Which I just want you to know, not everybody thinks that. Not everyone thinks there's a need for safe spaces. Not everyone. No offense, but if I were in the restaurant and would talk to the manager and said, this is inappropriate, and you won't be getting $1 anymore, and it's not. I think there's a viewpoint bias in here, which is the division that you were talking about when you read through the notes. And you need to be aware of that. I don't know how many conservatives you have on this committee, but I don't think there's a lot. And I think if you want to be more objective, you have maybe like the voting center where you have for every position, you have a Republican, you have a Democrat, the Libertarian, Independent. Because it very much sounds like there's a viewpoint bias going on here. But as far as the free speech, my concern is again, I don't like necessarily the speech that the people were using without comments. They had concerns about comments and what they were doing. I might not agree with what they said, but they had a right to say it.
Absolutely.
And that's the concern, is that all of a sudden, you don't get to say that because I don't like it.
Yeah,
I'm seeking that.
This
hate speech. You don't get to say it.
Yeah. This isn't about
free speech. But it did go to the Human Rights Commission, and it was published in the paper. So did those people get it for loss of reputation and everything else because they were using their free speech? Were they labeled radical extremists because they were just sharing their opinion? I mean, that's the thing that's worrisome about this, is where could it go? And it's a double, but we know from our history that all the Department of Education, the federal level, it's not constitutional. And look at how it blossoms. They contribute 10% of the funds to schools, but they provide 90% of the regulation schools have to follow. I mean, it's insane that it's insidious that government just blows up. And I don't have the confidence that the government is the answer to our problem. I don't.
That's why I asked if you would feel more comfortable if it was something that was not as something away from
the not town. Attached to
not the town. Attached to the town council or for the matter of the county council or anything of that matter.
Or Brown County is different.
Go ahead. I believe I'm one of the very few people that hasn't spoken because I'm a listener and I listen to everybody talking, and I want to introduce a little word called perception. So people have talked about people coming into this county and they have a perception of what this county is and they love it and they want to come back. I have a friend that moved here probably about a year and 3 months ago, 4 months. They're from Chicago, and they love it here.
We have a lot of Chicago.
Yes. We don't need an extra layer of people that are going to, I don't know what the word would be, intervene. I have a smartphone. If I have a problem, I know how to Google and find people that can help me. I don't need an agency or a commission or anybody here in this town or in this county to do that job for me. I can do it myself. And I think most people are the same way. I believe you are an educated person. If you have a problem, you know who you need to call to get help or answers for what you're facing. And I feel like everybody is that way. You know, you might, younger people may need help. But we don't need an ordinance or a commission to create that extra layer. People are going to leave this county with a perception based on their values and what they think. And
commission is not going to change that perception. There's people coming to this county and they're walking down the street, they hear these musicians on the corners playing music and they're like, wow, what a hillbilly town. Is that very nice? No, it's not, but that's their perception. You know, so we're getting into an area where we're creating complications that don't need to be. Somebody comes here and they feel like that they've been talked bad about, they're going to go back to where they came from, no matter what you do as a commission, whether you help them or not. They're still going to go back to where they came from, and they're going to spread hatred, maybe, or at least say some things that make people not want to come here. So it's not going to make things any different or any better or worse than what it is now. I just don't think, I haven't been proved, it hasn't been proven to me that this is necessary.
Okay, what time is it? Yeah, this is going to be, we're going to wind up, let's get 5 more minutes.
Yeah. I'm just going to try to end the day. Human rights. Everyone deserves human rights. Discrimination is taking place in this county, in this town, and that's what this is about, period. So I have a perspective, there's a perception, but discrimination is happening. I can tell another story of somebody very close to me walked into a store downtown, she was wearing a shirt, was asked to leave because they don't want those kind of people shopping here. She's a visitor from not Indiana. That's not okay, that is discriminatory. She has a certain right, just like everyone has a voice. We can speak, we can say hillbillies, we can say all that. There's discrimination. It is treating people not equally is the problem that is taking place, and that's why this is taking place. Period.
I just want to say something in response to that. Mm-hmm. There's discrimination all over the country and all over the world.
So let's end it here.
It can't end here. It's going to happen. So creating a commission is not going to stop it.
All right, I'm going to have Jim talk, and then you talk, and then we're going to be done.
Let me ask you a quick, hopefully a bit of a question. How long has this process been going on? It's been over a year that I know about because I've been sitting in this room.
Right. It started just when was the rally? What year was the rally?
2020.
Okay.
It started then.
All right. Now, this is purely observation. You've taken almost 2 years of your time, our lives, trying to determine whether or not we need this. You're about to vote on it, like it or not, and you've got 50% of the people that want to know. They don't want any part of it. And that means that you, not you, you're not violent. You've not done your job to get all of us, or at least 70% of us, to get what you want. It's not here.
Well, I think you're right that 50% of the people in this room, that's true. But there's a lot of people that are not here tonight that have emailed me, supported me, churches that are supporting it, and things like that. So there's I've had lots of people call me and not support it. So maybe in this room, you're right. You know, in the end, I'm going to look at, for my vote, I'm going to go back to my emails. I'm going to look at my emails. I'm going to see what is apparent overall, you know, the majority of people that have emailed me, the people that I've talked to, the people that have reached out to me, and then I'm going to base my decision on that.
Yeah, but what do you do? You still have to at least contemplate the number of people you've got. I was appalled when you and I talked about this issue. And I was surprised at some of the figures and stuff that you came up with. Because I'm here, right? I've been telling you how long I've been here. I've been here 50 years. But I live in a house by myself, so I don't pay attention to anybody. But I care about this channel. And I just think that we need somewhere to get the point across. I believe that it's not the way that you get all these friends and people would call you up and say, we want this, we need this, and so on and so forth. But I'm afraid. afraid there's a lot more people out there like me that won't take the time. Unless they're really encouraged by, you know, we're my encouragement, it's the, you know, planted me in the last couple, 3 years. But, you know, it's just one of those things that I'm not sure that you solved the issue.
And we're not going to solve racism. We're not going to solve discrimination. We're not going to solve it. This is just a little, hopefully, way to help people, you know.
Oh, I hope you're right. I really, really do. I just don't get any of this.
I just wanted to answer you with our cognitive break. Boil down to what you think. And your whole thing is they have been talking about going to this agency for this problem, this agency for non-function. And I do have a problem with another layer of government. I do have a problem with performance, great law. Why don't you just call it a clearinghouse? Get the information at the library or the visitor center. Get it out to the people that need it. You can have that some there. But you don't have that. You don't need information. We aren't going to solve it. Because we are all different, we're all the same, but we're all different. And I like the idea of the clearinghouse because you did gather some good information. That different than a little bit, another problem, another law.
Okay, you had your hand up, so, okay, you done?
All right. Well, thank you for coming. I think one overall thing that is apparent, we all care about this town very deeply, no matter if we lived here for 2 years or I've lived here for almost 10 years and how many years would say Jim? Jamie, you lived here all your life? Oh, just 47. So I think that it's apparent we all care about this town. And please come to town council meetings, voice your opinions like this. Town council meetings are more business meetings unless there's an ordinance. There's probably not going to be a lot of public comment. If you want to continue the town halls, we've got to have you come to the town halls. But we almost stopped them because only four people came to the last one. Now, it was not an exciting kind of design of the structure, but infrastructure is actually hugely important for this town. So, keep coming, keep talking, keep emailing. And one last comment.
I just wanted to ask Nancy, is this ordinance going to be on our agenda?
I talked about that at the beginning. It's going to be on the July agenda to do the second reading, and then the August agenda to do the vote. If we
all right, to do the second reading.
Yes.
First and second.
Yes. And this is how government's supposed to work, which is kind of exciting that we're actually doing this how government is supposed to work. So,
are all the town council members here tonight?
There's three of us here tonight.
Okay. And how will the others who are not get to feel the flavor of what we're doing?
You're welcome to email them with your thoughts. And I guess, I don't know, we could do a summary of it in the council meeting if you
want collectively, wouldn't that be important for the people or maybe both?
Yeah, it's a good point
to understand.
No, we did not record this meeting because it's not an official, it's not an official town council.
Oh, it's not being recorded on Zoom?
It's not being recorded.
Nancy, I had a quick question.
Quick.
Yeah,
quick.
So you have an excellent point that, you know, how can we get a consensus for the community? I'm just curious. Is there any way to take it from a town council decision to a ballot agenda on the next election?
I don't know.
And then we just put a note in everybody who is a concerned enough citizen to vote. And quite frankly, if you're not concerned enough to vote, I don't want to hear from you anyways.
That's a great question for our township.
That is a good question. That's how they
explain to us what you're talking about when you consider the composition. Juan, can you answer that question?
A referendum?
So it would be in November?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I'm hearing somebody say that. Is somebody talking on Zoom? Oh, okay. Oh, that's your great guess.
I didn't quite hear what I'll just transfer.
She said, if we choose to, we could put it on the ballot in November.
And who chooses that?
What?
Who's
first. This is only my first year on town council,
right,
so I'm still learning.
Yeah, of course. Now we're always learning all the time, but
yeah,
she's including him.
why don't we talk about that with Wanda?
Yeah.
And we'll see if the council decides to do that.
That would be the splitting it down the line. There's ways to have a referendum on the November ballot. So the way you're going to get a true consensus, I think.
All right. It's a great idea.
Can I give a shout out to the